First, let me bid you welcome. Welcome. I appreciate your attendance very, very much. We say it so often, but we do say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. There is an outline for this lesson this morning. I hope you received one when you came in. They're on the table in the foyer, so I sometimes ask my brethren to look around, and if you see someone without one, please share, or just go and get one and come back. But the lesson is from the Great Commission that Jesus gave right before he ascended back to the Father. This is one of the most important questions that you can ask yourself. Are my sins forgiven? It's a personal question. I can't answer it for you. You need to ask it for yourself. Are my sins forgiven? And when Jesus was introduced in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel told Mary, call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. So I want to know if my sins have been forgiven. Now I'm on the saved side. The answer comes, or how to have my sins forgiven, comes from the text that was read to us this morning. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this information. So when you look at your notes, I've kind of summarized it in four areas or four ways. Number one, there's a great claim that Jesus made. He has all the authority. He has all the authority. No religious person on earth can change it. No committee, no foundation, no convention, no personal feeling has a right to change what Jesus said concerning the manner in which our sins are to be forgiven. He has all the authority. If someone says something different than what Jesus has said, they don't have the authority for that. They're speaking without authority. Jesus has all the authority. That's a great claim. Second, we're going to look at a great commission. Commission his disciples to go into all the world. He said, I want you to preach a good news message to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus commissions his apostles. It starts with you. You go everywhere and preach a good news gospel message. I put right in the middle of your notes the message from Luke chapter 24. You hear me at the end of each sermon, so each time, giving you a what we call a plan of salvation or steps that bring us into Christ Jesus or how to become a Christian. Luke gives some added information concerning that simple phrase that Mark records, where Mark says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Luke records some added information for us. And I want you to note that. And when you look at your notes, and right there in the middle section of the outline, you'll see what Luke said in chapter 24 and the fulfillment of it. The question sometimes is asked, did the disciples do what Jesus said? The answer is going to be yes. Yes, they did in Acts chapter 2. Then we're going to look at number 3. There's a great charge. Jesus said, I want you to teach them all the things that I've commanded you. That's continued biblical education. When you're baptized, that's the start. That's the beginning of a Christian life. And from that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then the last point we're going to make, there's some great comfort. Because Jesus said, I'm with you. I'm with you. All the way. All the way. So let's take a look at each of these things in turn. Sometimes call these the farewell words of Jesus. Yeah, but when death takes a loved one, we like to hold on to what we call last words. What was the last thing they said? Or what was the last thing I said to them? Last words are important to us, especially in life. Last words. So when we look at these, the text that was read to us, these are the last earthly words of Jesus. Jesus, what's on your mind? What do you have to say? And these are the words that he said. And I put these are great words. Meaning they're exceptional. Title, you know, this people, Bible class teachers or preachers call this Jesus' great commission or charge. These are these are beyond just mere words. These last words of Jesus are significant. These last words of Jesus are above the normal. They're words that we need to sit up and listen to. We need to pay attention. Jesus, what's the last thing you want us to hear before you are ascended back to the Father? So number one, I just put it's a great claim. In Matthew records it where Jesus said, all the authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. All the authority. And that's noted in other places in the Bible. When Jesus was at the on the mountaintop, in Matthew chapter 17, when he was transfigured or his face was altered, Matthew 17, verse 7, there was a voice that came out of the cloud, and it said, and the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. What does Jesus have to say? In Hebrews chapter 1, in beginning of verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Oh, but he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. Yeah. We need to listen to what Jesus has to say. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, says God raised him up from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above, and here's the illustration, Jesus is far above all principality, far above all power, might, and dominion. God has put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. We as the church need to sit up and listen. Jesus, what do you have to say for us? Especially when it comes to the question, are my sins forgiven? Are my sins forgiven the way that God's outlined? It means concerning the church, Jesus' voice is the ultimate one, and that excludes all others. You need to listen to what Jesus has to say. So number one, when we read this text, yeah, there's a great claim. He has all the authority in heaven and on earth. Second, put in your notes a great commission. So he says, go. Go. I want you to make disciples of all the nations. Don't leave anybody out. He said, I want to be sure this message goes to everybody. Make disciples of all the nations. Then he gives the method, baptizing them. And here's the authority. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then we have the teaching them. So I want them to make disciples. If you become a disciple of Jesus, it means you become a learner, a follower. You're a student. You become an imitator of the master teacher. That was one of the definitions and the way they taught others. There was the master teacher and the students, and they would follow the master teacher. And it was in a sense that whatever he said, that's what they wanted to become. And he was the illustration. The master teacher was the example. And they were the students or the pupils. Teach me and I learn. Follow. The Apostle Paul asked the question in Romans 10 verse 14. How shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? You have to be taught. You have to be taught. The message has to go out. The message must be proclaimed to all our world. And then Paul continued in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10. So then faith comes by hearing. Someone says, I want more faith. Well, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's where you get your faith from, God's word. And then Jesus says, I want you to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. And so now we go to that book of Luke, and it's in the middle section of your notes. Luke records this commission with this added information. I want to read it again. Jesus said to them, it's written, and it's necessary that Christ suffer and rise from the dead the third day. That's the foundation of our faith. And he says this, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He says, and you're witnesses of these things. He says, I'm going to send the promise of my Father to you, but I want you to tarry in the city until you receive power from on high. And then after that, then he led them out from that area where he was, as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And then it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and was carried up into heaven. This took place 40 days after the Passover, or after his crucifixion. Jesus was on earth 40 more days, preaching and ministering, teaching, and letting people know, proving that there was a resurrection. When Jesus says these words, this great commission, it's going to be fulfilled 10 days later. So Jesus, after the Passover, he's on earth 40 days. And then once he's lifted up into heaven 10 days later, Luke records it, also the author of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the resurrection. On that day of Pentecost, we find the fulfillment of Jesus' words. So we sometimes ask the question, did the disciples do what Jesus said? So I put in your notes. Yeah, well, the answer is yes. So in Luke 24, verse 47, Jesus, remember, said, I want repentance. Repentance. I want remission of sins. I want it preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. So did they do that? Well, in Acts 2, verse 38, we find that they asked the question, what shall we do? They were convinced we've murdered the Messiah. We crucified the Christ. They asked, what shall we do? Anything we can do? Yeah. Peter said, repent. Well, that's what Jesus said. Those were his last words. I want repentance preached. Peter said, repent and let every one of you, all nations, everybody, preach the word to all creation. I want every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. So then he just repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Oh, they did exactly what Jesus said. 10 days later. We find in Luke said that in Luke 24, verse 47 again, was to all the nations. Well, in Acts chapter 2, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Luke records the message of Jesus, and again in verse 47, I want all of this done beginning at Jerusalem. So they were in Bethany. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. You tarry in the city until you receive power from on high. So he says, I want my message preached beginning at Jerusalem. And well, in Acts 2, verse 52, or Luke 24, verse 52, they worshiped him. Then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And then Acts records it. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. They returned to Jerusalem. It's repeated. See, the authors wanted to be sure you understood. The apostle did exactly as Jesus said. Exactly. Luke records it in verse 49. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father to you, but I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Well, then Acts records it. They're in Jerusalem, the right time, the right place. In Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, 50 days after the resurrection, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled the whole house. There appeared unto them divided tongues of fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Stay in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. 10 days later, it took place. Everything Jesus said, what he wanted done, it's recorded in Luke chapter 24, is recorded and fulfilled in Acts chapters 1 and 2. Everything. That's the beginning of the church, the beginning of that gospel message being preached to all nations. That's the beginning. The third part in your notes, I put a great charge. Jesus said, I want you to teach them in Matthew to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. teach them. Well, that took place in Acts chapter 2 also. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, those that gladly received his word were baptized. And unto them that day about 3,000 souls. And then in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. It's exactly what Jesus said, that's what I want. When you baptize them, teach them. Teach them again to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So in Acts 2, verse 42, yes, they were baptized. And they continued in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Sure did. So that we're encouraged to do that throughout the Bible. Peter mentions that in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Now, since you purified your souls in obeying the truth, love one another. Continued education. There's a way to behave. There's a conduct that we are to enjoy. And it's the way we treat one another according to what Jesus has said. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes. Well, isn't that sufficient to be born again? No. He says, I want you to desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, giving all diligence, I want you to add to your faith. Add to your faith. Well, wait a minute, I've been baptized. That's right. You have. Now add to your faith. Virtue. Knowledge. Self-control. Perseverance. Godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours, and then the next phrase says, and abound. Don't be satisfied with the minimum or the least. The things there, I have the knowledge, the self-control, the godliness, the brotherly kindness. Yeah, but I want them to abound. Want them to abound. If you do these things, if you add this, he mentions a blessing. You'll not be barren. You'll not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A blessing. 2 Peter 1 verse 18 says, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's right. The last one, a great comfort. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm with you. There's a personal presence. I'm with you. There's an abiding presence. Always. I'm with you. Thank you. Wait, Brian. I'm with you always. Always. Nobody else can make that claim. I'm with you always. And then there's a victorious presence, even to the end of the age. All the way to the end. All the way. So now the question that would begin, I ask you, are my sins forgiven? Jesus gave the apostles, this is the message I want you to preach so people can enjoy remission or forgiveness of sins. And again, in Luke 24, this is what I want you to preach. It's going to start 10 days from now in Jerusalem. I want repentance, remission of sins. I want it preached in my name to all nations. To all nations, to everybody. I want you to stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And they did that. They left Bethany, went to Jerusalem, and fulfilled the great commission that Jesus gave. That's the lesson, the message, or the invitation we close at the end of every sermon. We give that invitation. People sometimes say, why do you say that at the end of every lesson? And so I've been asked, could you say a little bit more about that? Explain the significance of it, or why do you do it? Because that's the last words of Jesus. As a disciple, as a Christian, as a follower of the master teacher, that commission is bound on me too. So wherever we go, we preach that message. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you your sins are not forgiven. That's the formula. Those are the steps. That's the faith that we have, that God will accomplish what he's promised to do. He'll forgive us our sins when we're baptized. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. If you're subject to it, if you've not obeyed those commands already, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply let it be known or come forward while we're singing this song.